I swallowed and realized that I was parched, starving, and more than anything, I was weary, desperately, desolately tired. And the prospect of sleep was terrifying. I turned to look at Murphy and saw the pain on her face as she watched me. "Karen," I said, "I'm tired." I looked down at the child, a sleepy, warm little presence who had simply accepted what little shelter and comfort I had been able to offer. And I thought my heart would break more, because I knew that I couldn't be what she needed, that I could never give her what she had to have to stand a chance of growing up strong and sane and happy, because I had made a deal. If I hadn't done it, she'd be dead. But because I had, I couldn't be what she deserved to have. Never looking away from the little girl's face, I whispered, "Will you do me a favor?" "Yes," Karen said. Such a simple word, to have so much reassuring mass. My throat tightened and my vision blurred. It took me 2 tries to speak. "Please take her to Father Ford Hill when we get back," I said. "Tell him she needs to disappear. The safest place he has. That I..." My voice failed. I took deep breaths and said, "And I don't need to know where. Tell him that for me." I turned to Murphy and said, "Please." She looked at me as if her heart were breaking, but she had a soul of steel, of strength, and her eyes were steady and direct. "Yes." I bit my lip. And very gently, I passed my little girl over into her arms. Murphy took her and didn't comment about the weight, but then she wouldn't. "God," I said, not 2 full seconds later. "Molly, where is she?" Murphy looked up at me as she settled down to hold the child. The girl murmured a sleepy complaint, and Murphy rocked her gently to soothe her back to sleep. "Wow, you were really out of it. You didn't see the helicopter?" I raked through the memories of the night. No. "After..." She glanced at me and then away. "After," she said more firmly, "Thomas found a landline and made a call, and a Navy helicopter landed right out there on the lawn less than an hour later. Lifted him, Molly, and Mouse right out." "Mouse?" Murphy snorted gently. "No one was willing to tell him he couldn't go with Molly." "He takes his work seriously," I said.
"Apparently."
"Do we know anything?" I asked.
"Not yet," Murphy said. "Sonia's manning the phone in the visitor center. We gave Thomas the number before he left."
"Be honest, Sergeant Murphy," the Lenanshi said quietly as she glided back over to me. "You gave the dog the number."
Murphy eyed her, then looked at me and said defensively,
"Thomas seemed to have enough on his mind already."
I frowned.
"Not like that," Murphy said sternly.
"Ugh,
I wouldn't have let him go with her if he seemed all weird."
"Yeah," I said. "Yeah, Mouse wouldn't have either, would he?"
"He was in no danger of losing control," my godmother said calmly. "I would never let such a promising prospect be accidentally devoured."
Sonia appeared, jogging around the lower end of the pyramid from its far side. Asparachius hung at his side, and Amarachius, still in its sheath on Susan's white leather belt, hung from his shoulder. I stared at the belt for a moment. It hurt. Sonia came chugging up the stairs, moving lightly for a big guy with so much muscle. He gave my godmother a pleasant smile, one hand checking to be sure that Amarachius was still on his shoulder.
"Next time," Leah murmured.
"I think not," Sonia said, beaming. He turned to me. "Thomas called. He seemed surprised it was me. Molly is on Navy cruiser, on maneuvers in Gulf of Mexico. She will be fine."
I whistled.
"How did..."
I narrowed my eyes.
"Lara?" Murphy asked quietly.
"Gotta be," I answered.
"Lara has enough clout to get a Navy chopper sent into another country's airspace for an extraction?"
Murphy kept on rocking Maggie as she spoke, seemingly unaware that she was still doing it.
"That's scary."
"Yeah," I said. Maybe she sang Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Not to be rude, Sonia said, but I saw some people come up road in car and drive away very fast. Now would be a good time to.
He glanced over his shoulder and frowned.
Who left that lightning door there?
I arranged that, Leah said lightly. It will take you directly back to Chicago.
How did you manage that? I asked.
The Lenanshi smoothed her gown, a hungry little smile on her lips, and folded her hands primly in her lap.
I negotiated with its creator, aggressively.
I made a choking sound.
After all, your quest must be completed, my child, my godmother said. Maggie must be made safe, and while I found the swim bracing, I thought it might not be safe for her. I'm given to understand that the little ones are quite fragile.
Okay, I said. I looked back up at the temple. I can't just leave her there.
Will you take her back to Chicago, child? My godmother asked. Allow your police to ask many questions? Perhaps slip her into your own grave at Graceland Boneyard and cover her with dirt?
I can't just leave her, I said. The Lenanshi looked at me and shook her head. Her expression was less predatory than it could have been, even if it wasn't precisely gentle.
Go. I will see to the child's mother. She lifted her hand to forestall my skeptical reply. With all the honor and respect you would wish to bestow yourself, my godson. And I will take you to visit when you desire. You have my word.
A direct promise from one of the she is a rare thing. A kindness is even rarer.
But maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. Even in winter, the cold isn't always bitter, and not every day is cruel.
Sonia, Murphy, and I went down the stairs and through the lightning gate. Murphy politely refused Sonia's offer to carry Maggie for her. He didn't know how to work her the right way to get her to accept help. I offered to carry her gear. She surrendered the sword and her guns willingly enough, and I lagged a few steps behind them while I settled the straps and weaponry about myself. I hung the P-90, the only object Murph was carrying, with enough open space in it to hide an itinerant spirit, so that it bumped against the skull still in the improvised bag on my belt and murmured very quietly, "Out of the gun."